Good morning. Continuing the sugya of Adam Hamazik, and specifically we're discussing different cases of car accidents. Last week we went through the Shitas Rashi. According to Rashi, there are two factors we have to look at to determine who is responsible for whatever damage is caused. The first is whether the parties were Bershus or Shaloi Bershus, whether they were driving or acting responsibly or not. And Rashi held that if it's Echad Bershus Vechad Shaloi Bershus, if one of them is driving responsibly, the other one is driving recklessly, then no matter what, the Shaloi Bershus, the person that was driving recklessly, is going to be liable. However, if it's Shneim Bershus or Shneim Shaloi Bershus, they're either both driving responsibly or neither of them is driving responsibly. In that case, we have to look at the second factor. And that is who hit who. Rashi Paskins, Hiziku Zeh Zeh Chayovim. If one car is driving and speeding and smashes into an illegally parked car, the car that was speeding, the car that did the mice of mazik, the one that did the action, is liable. Ma'ashenkein, if it's husku zebizeh, if there are two people walking and one of them collides into the other and the one that was moving got hurt, then as long as they are both bershus, they're both shaloi bershus, there's not going to be any liability. Now that being said, in Rashi, there are a few exceptions that we have to deal with. The first is that although we mentioned when it's Echad Bershus Vechad Shaloi Bershus, if someone is trespassing without permission, he's Shaloi Bershus. If the owner then accidentally hurts him, he's Pater, because he's Bershus. The other person is Shaloi Bershus, the owner is not liable. However, Rashi learns that it was Ra'a, if the owner saw the person trespassing, even though he had no right to be here, he was never given permission. But the moment the owner saw him, he now has an achrayus to be careful. And if later on he goes ahead and he damages this person who is trespassing without permission, the halacha is he's going to be chayiv. He may be shaloi bershus, but that just means if it's an oinus, if it's an accident, the owner didn't know he was there, he's not going to be liable. But if he saw him trespassing, he now has a responsibility to watch what he's doing and to make sure the other person doesn't get hurt. The next exception, which is a similar concept, is the Mishnah has a case. If there's a Baal HaKoyer and Baal HaChavos, a Baal HaKoyer is walking, if someone's holding a beam, he's walking in the street. Someone else is holding a barrel and following him. So halacha is, if the person holding the barrel just walks into the beam, so no one's responsible. He shouldn't have walked where he was going, he shouldn't have walked into the beam, and he has no claim. However, the person holding the beam suddenly stops. The halacha is, it depends why he stopped. If he stops just to shift the load, so when people are walking in the street, you're carrying a heavy load, every once in a while you have to stop, you have to shift the load. It's a normal thing to do. If it's a normal thing to do, the person who is carrying the barrel smashes into you, there's not going to be any liability. However, if you suddenly stop for no reason, person just slams on the brake in the middle of the street, and the person behind him smashes into him, the halacha is the Baal HaKoyer, the person in front, has to pay. The reason for that is simple. He's shaloi bershus. He has no right just to stop, and he's going to be responsible for any damage that's caused. However, the Mishnah continues that if the person holding the beam that's walking in front stops for no good reason, but he turns around and warns the people behind him, watch out, I stop to rest. The halacha is, if the person doesn't listen to him and smashes into the beam and gets hurt, he's pater. So what do we see? We see that if a person stops, even though he had no permission to be stopped, once he warned the other party, once he told them, I'm here, watch out, he's not responsible if the other person ignores that warning and suffers the damage. Now based on this, Shimru Mishpat and Simon Kuf Tes Paskins, If a person stops in the middle of the street for no reason, but he puts on his hazards, puts on his blinkers, or for that matter, if you have an ambulance that's racing recklessly and doing something, but it has its siren on in a manner where the other person had enough time to see, should have seen it and should have stopped, the halacha is, he's not going to have any liability. Although you have no right to be there, once you've warned the other party, then you don't have any achrayas. And it'll come out in Shitas Rashi, some very interesting halachas. Say you're driving down the street. It's a narrow, one-way street in the city. And someone had parked, but he didn't park very carefully. He's sticking out a bit. While you're driving, you don't notice him. Your mirror clips his, and it damages the car. So what's the halacha? So, the person parked, is shalei b'rishus. You have to be within 12 inches of the curb. If you're sticking out further, it's shalei b'rishus. The person who's driving, he's driving normally, he's driving responsibly. It certainly could happen in a narrow street that you don't notice someone sticking out a little bit too much. He's b'rishus. So the halacha is, by echad b'rishus ve'echad shalei b'rishus, even though it's his ziku, even though the driving car is the one that caused the damage, he's going to be patur. He's not responsible to pay because he was b'rishus, the other party was shalei b'rishus. Now what would be interesting is, let's say this car, instead of sticking out a few inches, this car was sticking out by 3 feet. The guy parked mamish block, in the middle of the road. In such a case, if you go ahead and you smash into him, I'm not so sure you're going to be patur. Because in such a case where a responsible driver would have seen this car parked in the middle of the road, so although it was shalei b'rishus, once it's raw, or once the driver is not being careful and is not watching what he's doing and smashes into it, in that case, it's shnayim shalei b'rishus, and if it's pesheya, the person who's driving is going to have to pay for the damage. So if you're going to park badly, it'll come out in a certain sense, you're better off parking 3 feet away from the curb than 1 foot. Because one, and when you're just a few inches over the line, then someone who hits you is probably b'rishus. If you're way off, then it's the person who hit you is probably shalei b'rishus and would be liable. The whole thing, because what's happening over here is that if he's driving in a way where he doesn't see a car in the middle of the road, then he's shalei b'rishus. Once they're both shalei b'rishus, according to Rashi, his ziku zeh, if you've damaged the other person, you have to pay. Okay, but we look at the ma'aseh hezek. Since the person driving was not watching what he's doing, his action is shalei b'rishus. If it's shalei b'rishus, he's liable for what he caused.
What is that? The fact that I say the opposite. If the person has parked, he's sticking out a few inches, he's b'rishus. No one parks. Not anyone parks.
Okay, if it's very common, that we discussed last week.
And the person that's driving in the street, he's not supposed to be driving right next to the parked car, he's driving right next to the line. He's shalei b'rishus.
It certainly does depend on the case. And as we discussed last week, if the rule is 12 inches, but people it's normal to go up to 15 inches, that would all be considered b'rishus. But the moment you go a bit above that, it's not normal. If the person was still driving responsibly and his window clear, which it could happen on a narrow street, then it would be echad b'rishus, echad shalei b'rishus. If you change around the facts, the halacha will be different.
The one who is shalei b'rishus, if he's causing an obstruction, does that change anything?
So yes, they're but on two levels. The first halacha, which we've discussed a few weeks ago, the sugya of Avin Yishdil and Afshe. The person blocks the whole road, the halacha is, if you have a Hummer, and you need to get by, and you want to smash through it, you're allowed to do that. That's the sugya of Avin Yishdil and Afshe. But typically, if he has the Hummer, hitting him is not going to help you. If it's not going to help you, then the sugya of Avin Yishdil and Afshe will not apply. There is a Nachlas David in the Sugya and Bava Kama there in Daf Chav Ches that says an interesting svara. He says that in a case where a person lines the street with a bat with barrels, without Avish Nila Nafshe, let's assume you can step over it. He says if you try stepping over it and you fall and you trip, you end up damaging it, he says you're not liable. Because it's true, other more la'olam. Normally, if there's one barrel and you see it, you have an obligation to walk by it. If it's blocking it, and now you have to balance and sort of jump over it, and you miss, you're not responsible for the damage that's caused. Now, if you take this logic a step further, what it would mean is if a person blocks a driveway or blocks a street and it's difficult to get by, even if it's not impossible, Nachas David would say it's very likely if you tried hard, you were careful, but you still, you know, you're not such a good driver, it could be you wouldn't be liable, according to this. Okay, fine, good. So we'll get to that in a minute. That brings up another problem, which we'll get to in a minute in the Ramah. Now, just to point out again, which I mentioned briefly last week, the flip side is not necessarily true. Which means, let's go back to the parked car. He's sticking out a few inches. It's shaloi b'rishus. You're driving responsibly. It's a narrow street. You end up clipping, your mirror clips his. But now you suffer the damage. You're driving responsibly. He's shaloi b'rishus. What's the halacha? So, Rashi seems to say, the person who shaloi b'rishus always is responsible to pay for the damage. The problem over here is that this is bar. The whole sugya of echad b'rishus v'echad shaloi b'rishus is two people are moving. One person is moving, the other person stops. That's Adam Hamazik. Adam Hamazik, the person who shaloi b'rishus is always going to have to pay. However, there's a bar, the halacha of bar, if there's a bar b'rishus harabim, if someone digs a big pit in the middle of the street, and a person drives by and he totals his car, halacha is a bar is patur on kelim. It's gzeiras hakasef. So if you leave a parked car in a place where shaloi b'rishus, where people will hit it, someone comes by and hits that car and suffers damage himself, halacha is you have no claim against it. If the person gets hurt, so then a niske adam bar is chayav. But if you're talking about just your car got damaged, even though that other person was shaloi b'rishus, still, since it's niske bar, you'll not have a claim. Excellent. The problem is, what I've just said is an exact steer to the mission I just read to you before. One person was walking with a beam. The other person behind him was following with a barrel. The person holding the beam suddenly stopped without warning. For no reason. The barrel gets smashed. The halacha is, the Mishnah says, Yechayiv. So, Frekri B'yoyel, what are you talking about? It's Bar Rishas Rabim. If there's a beam lying on the ground, and someone goes ahead and trips on the beam, and the barrel smashes, he's going to be potter. So here too, when the person holding the beam just stopped, he shouldn't have any responsibility. Oh, very good. So the Rishayim asked this question, the Mukhi Yosef, the Taisus Rid, the Ravid, and they use different nuskoyes for the answer. And depending on how you learn these Rishayim, is going to make a tremendous nafkamina in every car accident. What some Rishayim are mashed when the Aruch HaShulchan speaks out most clearly, it's Yodei Arichta. If a person stops, there are two people, forget about barrels and beams, just people. If a person is walking and just stops and someone else smashes into him, there, in many cases, that will be called Adam Hamazik. It's a person. You hit the person, not a pit. Now, let's say the person stopped, and you run into him. Now, do you run into him? No, he's wearing clothing, right? So you're going to tell me the clothing of the bar is not Adam? Obviously not. That's part of the person. It's bottle to the person. So, Zagri Aruch HaShulchan, if you're holding a beam, and you stop, and someone smashes into you, that beam that's being held by you is like part of your goof. And therefore, damage that it's caused by hitting that beam is considered Adam Hamazik and not Bar. Now, other Rishonim use slightly different nuskos. And what they're more mashma is not so much a question of Yadei Arichta, but it's more a question of the Kayach Adam. When you're holding the beam, it's your Kayach that's supporting the beam. You're walking, you stop, it's your kayach. When the person hits into it, it's being supported by you. That is the din of Adam Hamazik. However, you take that same beam and put it on the ground, now it's a bar. Now it's just lying on the ground. It has nothing to do with your kayach, nothing to do with the person. So what would be halacha l'maisa? Two cars are driving. The one in front, they're both driving normal, responsible speed. Suddenly the one in front, for no good reason, slams on his brakes. The one behind doesn't have time to react. Again, to make the case a little more interesting, the one in the front, the brake lights were burnt out. There's a collision. Is that Adam Hamazik or is that bar? So it depends. If you learn, like your explanation, that a person holding the beam is a yaday arichta of a person. Now, I don't know if you're going to say that on a car. It's part, you're going to tell me, bishlam of clothing or something that he's holding on to, that's part of the person. But a car, it might be a tool, it might be a vehicle that he uses, but to say that the car is bottled to the person is a very big chiddush. And l'chayr, in such a case, if the car stopped and you smashed into it, it would be a bar, and he would not be responsible for any damage to the tailgating car. However, if you go with the other mahalach, that it's his kayach, it's his, then perhaps you can make an argument that since he's the one who's slamming on the brake, and without his kayach pushing on the brake, perhaps the car would just keep on rolling, the damage wouldn't have happened. Perhaps you can say it's Adam Hamazik. Now, even in this, I think it's a chiddush, because maybe in the olden days, when a person slammed on the brake, you know, work, it was a mechanical brake and it stopped the car, so that's his kayach. But today, where everything's electronic, if you just press a button and now the car stops, it's very hard to call that Adam Hamazik. So I am not so sure in any of these cases, if a car slams on the brake, I am not so sure you can be mechayev him for any damage to another person's car. If a person, the driver gets hurt, that's, you know, you can be chayev on this guy Adam. But as far as Adam Hamazik or a bar, it's very likely the car in front would always be considered a bar and would never be liable to damage done to the other person. That's true. And therefore, if I'm driving a car and I run someone over, I agree with you, that's koichoi. Because you're using the car. But on the other hand, in the other case, when it already stopped, the same way if I take a beam and I put it on the ground, it may have been my kayak that made it go there, but now it's just lying there on its own. So when I press the brake and now it stopped and it's just lying there, I could hear a svar that you're potter. I'm not saying this is a psa, but it's this is the kind of thing that every time there's an issue, this the dayanim will fight about.
What if the front car slowed down and didn't stop?
That would be more of a reason to be mechayev him. Beno Peretz has an interesting lumdus that slowing down or moving, you know, stopping yourself is that's considered a ma'isa. So it's easier to be mechayev in such a case.
Isn't the absence of the brake lights in the front car
a form of shi'ah? It certainly is. It is a negligence. But if every time I dig a pit in the street, that's negligence. And while I'm chayev on a chamar or niskei adam, but on kelim, I'm potter. So it's not a question of negligence, it's just a question of do we classify it as an adam hamazik or bar, and that will make a tremendous nafkamina halach in this case.
Before it's when it's low, I mean here, in effect, it's rolling and it just stopped, but so does that make it...
Again, that's part of the discussion. What the point of the beam is. It stopped, if it stopped and then afterward there was a collision, we have to figure out why is this different than every bar. That a person digs, he puts it there, it's his kayak put it there, but now the damage happened just simply because it's there.
Is there any story to say that just like the beam can only be carried by the person or an animal, so too a car can only be operated and moved by a person?
That's true. But once it stopped, you don't need any person for a parked car just to remain stationary. Again, I'm not saying halacha psuka, this is just a problem that you have anytime you have this type of accident and it has to be dealt with. Okay, great. So there are three different issues you raised. Dina Malchus Adina, how do we deal with? Second of all, putting the Malchus Adina aside, what's the halacha of claiming, putting a claim against the insurance? And third of all, you're liable for premiums going up. We're going to have to deal with that. Perhaps we'll do that next week in a future shiur. Today we're going to discuss just Chesh and Mishpat, halacha, who's responsible. Okay. Now, one more important factor in Shitas Rashi, which greatly complicates any practical case, is that Rashi seems to have very clear guidelines. If they're both b'shloi b'shus, they're both speeding recklessly. So hiziku zeh, if I hit the other person, I'm responsible. Husku zeh b'zeh, if the damage is passive, then there's no responsibility. What happens if there's a Hummer traveling south? There's a Civic, Honda Civic traveling north, and they collide, a head-on collision. As you can imagine, the Civic is going to be totaled. The Hummer may or may not have its paint scratched off. Is that Hiziku Zeza or Huzku? Who's, assuming they're both equally negligent, who is responsible? So in this case, the halacha is clear. Zeba b'chavita v'zeba b'chayrasai. If there's a head-on collision, then regardless of who's the one that got hurt, the Mishnah says no one pays. Because on a head-on collision, each of them are equally at fault. Now again, we're talking about a street back then. They didn't have lanes, so the head-on collision was just two people walking down, you know, Manhattan. There was just a collision. If obviously today, if you're in the wrong lane, it'll be different. But assuming there's no person, they both hit each other. The halacha is, even according to Rashi, it's a head-on collision. They're going to be pater. What happens if one car makes recklessly makes a left turn, right into the path of an incoming car that was speeding? And there's a collision. Now, that's the case of Shneim Shloi Bershus. So if you learn Rashi Kipshutoi, what would be the halacha? It'll depend on the split second exactly what happened. If the person turns first, right ahead, and the other car smashed into him, so who did the Maisa Hezek? The speeding car that smashed into the turning car. On the other hand, if this happened a fraction of a second later, where the speeding car got into the intersection first, and the car that made a left turn hit him, l'chayra, now it's Hiziku, the person making the turn, hit the speeding car. So if you learn Rashi Kipshutai, you'd have to look at who caused the impact. Whoever did the impact is responsible to pay. The other person will be completely off the hook. Now the Ma'aseh of the Ramah and the Mikra Yosef, it's quoted by the Amshel Shloimeh and there's Rabbeinu Peretz, all say svaras. They also, there's different neschoyos in the Rishonim and Ramah might make an afmin al halacha. What they say is that no. The way the Ravid learns, the Rashi's point of Hiziku Zezeh just means if one person is stationary, another person smashes into him, so then the person who's moving is responsible for the damage. However, when it's Tarvayu Avdi Ma'aseh, when they both did an action and both of their actions caused the accident, when the lashon of the Rabbeinu Peretz, the nizik was pasha benafshei, there Rashi will not apply. Since you cannot blame one over the other, both of their actions caused the accident, in that case Rashi would agree that we don't look at split second who hit who. In that case, you would be pasher. Now again, the Ramah, there are different ways of learning. It's, you know, it doesn't, there are different cases. We're not going to go through each of the cases and what the luck would be going through the Ramah and Rebbeinu Peretz. But I'll call upon him, even in the Shitas Rashi, you have to deal with, is it just a case where one person hit the other, where it's Hiziku, where they did Bichayev, or is it a little bit more complicated than that? This is all the Shitas Rashi. The Rambam has a completely different mahalach in the whole sugya. There are many different ways of learning the Pshat in the Rambam. We're just going to choose out one of them. And what the Rambam says is like this. The Rambam has a tremendous kula. The whole din of Adam Mur La'olam, this whole concept that if you, whatever you do, Ben Oynis, Ben Shoigig, whatever you do, you're responsible for, the Rambam says that applies only if someone is trespassing. If I come into your house without permission, and I imazik you, then, no excuses. I do the damage, I have to pay. I can't say it was an oynis, a shaygig. I shouldn't have been there in the first place. Bershus ha-nizik, irresponsible for whatever happens. However, Zoch the Rambam, whenever I'm not trespassing, we're either shneim bershus, or both in the street. We're shneim shaloi bershus. I might be speeding, but you're also doing some shaloi bershus. In that case, the Rambam holds, unless you have kavanosei lahazik, unless you see the person and run him down with intent to be mazik, the Rambam says that you're potter. So if anyone here has a bad driving record, it's time to become a svardi. Because according to the Rambam, unless you have kavanah to be mazik, in virtually every case, you're going to be potter. Now, before you get too excited, the Rambam's case is either Shneim Bershus or Shneim Shloi Bershus. We're both driving recklessly or we're both driving okay. In that case, the Rambam says no matter, we don't look at who did the damage, unless it's Kavono, you're going to be Pater. However, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says if the person with a beam is walking and he suddenly stops, he doesn't give any warning, and the person with a barrel smashes into him, the person holding the beam is going to have to pay. So we see from the Mishnah is that even the Rambam agrees that it's only when we both are driving recklessly, we're both driving okay, that the Rambam's halacha applies. That unless I do it on purpose, I'm patur. But in a case where one person is driving normally, and the other one shaloi birshus, then the Rambam would agree you're going to be chayv. So it'll come out according to the Rambam, if whenever there's an accident, we have to see what happened. It's very uncommon for there to be an accident and both parties are driving responsibly. Because, you know, the rules of the road are such that if everyone follows the rules, normal circumstances, nothing will happen. However, some accidents are caused where one of them was shalei birshus, one person was reckless. Other times it's caused because both are reckless. According to the Rambam, it'll make a tremendous difference. If one of them was reckless and the other one wasn't, then echad birshus v'echad shalei birshus, the person that's reckless is going to have to pay. However, if both of them were shalei birshus, the moment they're both shalei birshus, the halacha is going to be, according to the Rambam, pater. We don't care who hit who, his zikuzeze, who's kuzebeze, they're both shalei birshus, there's not going to be any recovery. Each person will have to cover their own damage. Now another chiddush of the Rambam is that even when it's shalei birshus, if a person comes into your house without permission, so halacha was, he is shalei birshus, you're birshus. So halacha is, if you're mazik, you're patur. However, we said in Rashi, that if the Baal Bayis, if you saw him coming, even though he didn't have permission, once you see him, you have to be careful. And if you mazik him, you're going to have to pay. The Rambam argues. The Rambam says, if a person comes into your house, shalei birshus, then even though you saw him, doesn't make a difference. You can go ahead and continue doing what you want to do. You cannot be mazik the kavanah. You can't take a baseball bat and throw it at him. But if you continue doing whatever you're doing and he gets hurt, the fact that you saw him does not create any responsibility. If he wants to come into his rishus, he does it at his own risk. And unless you have kavanah, unless you have intent to be mazik him, according to the Rambam, you're going to be patur in such a case. Yeah, it's like this. The Rambam agrees, and this goes back to the sugya of Avin Shneil and Afshay. You're allowed to tell him to leave. If he doesn't leave, you're allowed to hit him, out of Avin Shneil and Afshay, to get rid of him. What we're discussing here is that this is not a way to get rid of him. He's here, he's trespassing, and you go ahead, and you're chopping wood, you're playing ball, you're doing something which could cause him damage. So when you're evicting him, when you're chasing him off the property, so subject to halachas of Avin Shneil and Afshay, you can use force. But over here, you're not trying to evict him. He's here. You're just going ahead and doing things that will cause hazard. So here the Rambam says, even though you know he's there, and even though you know that if you continue doing this, you're putting this other person in jeopardy, you don't have any responsibility to him. If he wants to come into your property without permission, he does it at his own risk. It's only when you stop hit him for no reason, you're going to be chayv. But in Chami, if you want to use force to chase him away, that even according to Rambam would be mutter al tzavad nishdil and afshe. What? So can you use the Rambam? So in halacha l'maaso is a little bit of a problem over here, because in Chayshin Mishpat the Mechaber virtually always quotes the Rambam word for word, and therefore Sfaradim virtually always follow the sheets of the Rambam. Ashkenazim usually have more flexibility. Ashkenazim usually say kimli however they choose. In this case, the Mechaber, the Achrayim point out, the Mechaber quotes the Rambam and Rashi at the same time. He mixes them together. So the Goyin is very bothered with it, he changes the Girsa, and according to the Goyin it comes out, even the Mechaber passes like Rashi. So if even the Mechaber passes like Rashi, it's going to be very difficult to say a Kimli like the Rambam. On the other hand, I saw a Sfaradish of Parisik decide that the Mechaber holds like the Rambam, so you have to figure it out. There's Mashmois in the Ramah and Simitav Chafalf, also like the Rambam. The Kimli, it depends which Bezin you end up in. Because
Mazik is Ashkenazim, the Mazik is Sfaradi, what's going on?
You go with the Mazik. If you want to make the Mazik pay, you can't force him to pay if he has a Kimli. So if the you know, whenever the mazik is a Sfardi, he'll be locked in the Shitas HaMechaber. If the mazik is an Ashkenazi, in general, Ashkenazim do not discriminate. And if the Shitas HaMechaber is a Kula, he can generally say Kimli. In this case, it's not so clear, because if you follow the Goyin's Gerusa, even the Mechaber rejects the Rambam, so you're a little bit stuck.
When you go to a Din Torah, don't you sign a paper that says you're going to go by what the Dayanim decide and not plan Kimli?
Okay, that's actually, no. See, when you go to a Din Torah, you do not waive your rights to Kimli. Kimli is a halachic concept, and when the Dayanim issue a psak, one of the factors they will take into account is that if there's a suffix, there's a concept of Kimli. Where you run into a shaila is, what happens if there's a difference in halacha between Ashkenazim and Sfardim, and the mazik is a Sfardi, the Ashkenazi, the nizik is an Ashkenazi, and the Dayanim are something else. So interesting, there's a tshuva from Rav Nissen Karelitz that says the difference between a question of Dinei Mominus and a question of Arachayim or your regular Issa V'Heter shaila. He says, when it comes to Issa V'Heter, when you ask a Rav a shaila, what are you doing? Basically, just asking him, what's the halacha? Instead of opening up a Shulchan Aruch, you're just asking for, you're too lazy to open up a Shulchan Aruch yourself, so you're asking what the halacha is. In that case, so if a Sfardi comes and asks a shayla, you tell him what the Mechaber says. If an Ashkenazi comes to ask a shayla, you tell him, feed the Kol Yapsak of an Ashkenazi. When it comes to the name of Amunus, from Nissen Karel's Paskins, that the Bezdin is Machriya. It's a Achra of a Bezdin. And once it's a Psak Din, another Rav can't override it. We look at the Bezdin. And if from Nissen Karel's Paskins, that when the parties come to you, it doesn't matter whether they're Ashkenaz or Sephardi, you follow the Mesoira of the Dayanim. Now that's true. Even if you're an Ashkenazi, if you get into a fight, if you get into an accident, you should schlep the person to a Sephardi Bezdin. And you'll end up being Pater. So this is Rav Nissen Karelitz's psak. We look at the Dayanim. Perhaps unsurprisingly, Avadi Yosef disagrees and says that I think he actually holds you always follow the Sfardi psak. But certainly, if the Balei Dinim are Sfardi, it doesn't make a difference on the Bez, then you have to follow the Sfardi psak.
What about the case where they pick the Dayanim? One piece of Ashkenazi, one piece of Sfardi, now.
They're going to have to find someone with mixed heritage. They have, when you do a Zabla, one of the many problems you have with the Zabla system today is people try, packing the court to make sure with, people who will agree with them. Ultimately, if you'll notice, many of the Dayanim, especially the ones that are involved in Zablos and often take a job as a shalish, will never give a shir in public. Because when you give a shir, now everyone knows your position. And now that everyone knows your position, if people are trying to choose a bezin that'll work with them, they're not going to take you as a shalosh so quickly, because they know what you hold or what the psak is. If you're silent, you don't give any shiurim, then you have a much easier chance getting a shteller as a shalosh. But again, this is one of the problems of that exists in the Zabla system. Perhaps we'll discuss it more by Rechus a different time. But as far as the halacha, again, it's going to make a difference between a Sfardi and Ashkenazi. So again, just to briefly summarize, basically, if they're Shnei Bereshus or Shnei B'Shalei Bereshus, they're both equal. According to Rambam, send them all home. Pater. According to Rashi, when they're both equal, halacha is hizikuzeh chayavim. The one that did the action is going to be chayiv. However, we did point out the Shitas Rama, when there's a head-on collision or when they're both moving, then it could be even Rashi would agree, even though we don't look at who hit who. In such a case where they're both played a role and both brought the hezek upon themselves, then it could be Rashi would agree that you're chayiv. In a case where one was stationary and the other one was moving, so according to Rashi, even though it's Shem Shloi Bershus, the one that was moving is going to have to pay. In a case where it was Echad Bershus Vechad Shloi Bershus, one of them was driving responsibly, the other one wasn't, there everyone would agree the halacha is the Shloi Bershus is going to be Chayiv, whether or not he had intent. However, what you will have to deal with is, in the case where the Shloi Bereshus was stationary, it was parked, or had just slammed on the brakes, then we're going to have to deal with the question, is this a question of Adam HaMazik, or is this a question of Bar? So opening, right, opening the door, so if it's Shnehem Shalei Birshus, you open the door without looking what's going on, and the other person was driving too quickly, if it's Shnehem Shalei Birshus, then according to the Rambam, Pater. No one pays anything. If one party was Pesheya, and the other one was Birshus, the person was driving normally, and you just flipped the door open in front of him where he had no time to react, there certainly he'd have no responsibility. He's an oinus. He was Birshus, you're Shalei Birshus, and you have no one to blame but yourself. Whether you're responsible for his damage, we'll have to figure out whether this is Adam Hamazek, whether you pushed the door into him, or whether it's a bar. And that would be a question. So yeah, you'd have to figure out, is it Shnei Birshus, is Shnei Shalei Birshus, and then we'll be telling the Rambam and Rashi. Now, one last point, and we're not going to have a chance to go through the whole sugya, but just to bring up the concept. When there is an accident, how much do you have to pay for damaging the other person's car? Now, when you go to insurance, first of all, the adjusters seem to very often inflate what the damage is or what the estimate is. Very often, they will pay for your rental car. And you will really get top dollar for any of the damage that's done. Halacha is a much more makel, a much more lenient on a mazik. As far as a rental car, strict halacha, that is at most a grama and miyas harevach, and in strict halacha, it really can't be mechayev someone to pay for a rental car. Pays for the damage done to the car itself, and that's it. Even the damage done to the car. Let's say the person is driving a nice yeshivish car. 8 years old, 100,000 miles on it. It's worth $5,000. You're going ahead, you're not watching what you're doing, you smash into him, and you damage his bumper. Normally, if you go through the standard klalim in Hilchus Mazik, how do you figure out how much the damage is? You figure out the value of the car before you hit it, and the value of the car after you hit it. That drop, that depreciation, is the damage that you've caused. Now, in a new car, or a relatively new car, those numbers are pretty much the same. If you have a car in perfect condition, and now it's smashed up, the drop in value will be roughly what it'll cost to fix it. However, in a yeshivish car, where anyone buying it is buying an older car, especially if it has a couple of bumps on the other, and dents on the other side, so how much did it go down in value? Because now the left bump, the left side of the back matches the right side. Before it had one bump, now it has two dents. So lav dafka anything. On the resale market, it may not go down anything, and it may go down at just a marginal amount. So over here, there's a chiddush from the Chazon Ish. And just to give another example where it comes up. A person goes ahead and is mazik, you have a suitcase, person takes the suitcase and burns it. Destroys everything inside. Now you had clothing inside. How much is the shirt that you're wearing worth? If you tried selling your shirt, how much would you get? Not very much. So in Hilchos Mazik, if the way to figure out Hezek is, how much was worth before I damaged it, and how much is worth now, it's going to be a very minimal amount. And in fact, there is a cleaners in Lakewood who, whenever they would burn your shirt or ruin it, they would tell you, listen, shirts on eBay cost about $1. I destroyed it. I'm a mazik, so I owe you $1. You haven't owed me $1.25 for cleaning it. We'll call it a wash. So what's the halacha? So over here, the Chazon Ish has a chiddush, and what he says is like this. He says the whole din of shuma of mazik, that you figure out how much it was worth before and how much it's worth now, that's when you have something that's going to be sold. It's made to sell. If it's made to sell, you figure out what it's worth before, you figure out what it's worth after, and that damage is what you cause. However, Zog the Chazon Ish, if you go ahead and you smash a window of a house, did the value of the house go down because of the window smashed? Probably not. So you're going to tell me that it's your potter? A person can go around smashing windows of houses not to pay anything? Chazon Ish says it's not mistaken. And what he says is that this is all true when you have something that's going to be sold. There your shuma has to do with what its resale value. However, something that you own, and that people, it's only to be fixed. You have, if someone smashes the window of the house, you don't sell your house. You call someone down, you replace the window. There the Chazon Ish says, we figure out the hezek differently. And there we have to look at what it will cost to repair the damage. Based on this, if there is a car accident, and with a yeshivish car, which the value didn't change that much, what we're going to do is we're going to look at, is this the type of damage that a person would want to fix? If it is normal to fix it, even though, again, the resale value is not going to change that much, if a normal person would fix it because he doesn't want to drive around with a car with this kind of zets, then, according to Chazon Ish, you can be mechayev the person to pay for the cost of fixing it. However, in a case where it's not normal to fix, and this happens very often, if the car is beat up enough, and it has enough smash, it's just not kedai to put in the money to repair it, in such a case, the Chazon Ish would agree. And in such a case, he would only pay for whatever drop in value there was, if anything.
You have a new car and you dent it, it's going to devalue much more than the cost of it because you now have a new car.
Right. Presumably, Chazon Ish doesn't discuss that case, but presumably it would go both ways. If the normal thing to do is to fix it, then you'd probably just pay to fix it. Anyway, there's a Machan Ephraim that discusses perhaps every mazik, his real obligation is to go ahead and undo the damage. But so presumably it would apply that case.
Can you collect the money then for the now this new car that was has 1,000 miles on it and has an accident on its record and now it's worth 2,000 less? Can you get that 2,000 also besides the damage?
You mean because of the fact that its record is tainted?
That's a good
question. You'd have to deal. It's a funny case because the tainted itself is not a hezek in the guf hadavar, and it's hezek shen nicker. You had all sorts of problems, but over here it's hard to call it hezek shen nicker because it's smashed. You can repair part of the damage, but not all of it. That's a good question. I have to give it some thought. What? Okay. It's a good question. It's a good question. Now this is all maker hadin. However, your question of whether you can go to the insurance may make this whole thing academic, because if you can put an insurance claim, who cares what the Chazon Ish would say you have to pay? Perhaps we look at the insurance. But, as I mentioned last time, we're going to have to wait for another shiur to deal with the insurance questions. Thank you.